Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back. Today's Daf is Vava Basra Tzadihei. We begin four lines off the top of the Amud Tashma. Back to our discussion of yesterday, let's say there is a deviation. There's an excess amount of pebbles inside that sack of, which was meant to be pretty much pure wheat. So we learned that up until a certain point, you know, it's considered acceptable. But past that point, he has a right to, the buyer has a right to object. Let's say he does discover an excess amount, right? Something beyond the norm, beyond tolerable amount. Rav Huna says a chiddush, he can actually clean out the entire amount. So not only can he reduce it below the, you know, threshold of tolerance, he can bring it down to zero. And now he can demand a full sack of pure wheat. According to some, it was a knas. We penalized the seller for overloading the wheat with foreign material. So we penalize him entirely. You don't even give him that minimal allowance, which is typically allowed. Whatever, the 4% that we discussed yesterday. According to others, it's actually din. Min ha-din. It's a basic halacha that when there's an excessive amount of something, of some deviation, you rectify completely back to zero, back to normal. Okay, so that was yesterday. And then today we're going to have some ra'is. We're going to try to prove from situations which are, a bit different than a sack of wheat, but to a certain extent, the underlying principles are the same. Tashma, here comes a raya from Oino'o, from, a fellow who overcharged his customers. Oino'o, so we have different levels of Oino'o. If the overcharged amount amounts to less than a sixth of the price, then, all right, we absorb it. It's considered mechila. The customer, overlooks that. We don't make a deal about that. If it's a sixth overcharge, then he has a right to demand that extra back. So the sale is still valid, but he can get that money back. If it's beyond a sixth, it's called bitul mekach. The whole deal is canceled because, it's a toast. You totally overcharged me. It's not what I expected. Tashma, how you know? So if there was an overcharge, pachos mishtos, if it's less than a sixth, nikna mekach. So the sale stands, and he basically has no recourse. We consider it a mechila. Yoyser mishtos, but if it's beyond a sixth, batel mekach. The whole deal is null and void. Shtos, if it's exactly a sixth, so the deal stands, kana, but he has a right to demand a refund of that extra amount. Kana umachzer or no? The question is, how much is he getting back? Umachzer or no? Seems like he gets back the entire extra. So suppose fair market value was 100, charged him 120, he gets the entire 20 back. The seller can't just reduce it to below a sixth, give him back a couple of pennies to bring it down below 120. He can't do that. He gets back the entire extra amount. The question is why? Why? Lihadar pachas mishtos. Let him return just, to bring it down to a less than a sixth. And the rest is mechila. Right? Suppose initially he only charged him 115. He can't make a deal about that. It's within that, sixth amount, which is considered a mechila. So just because he went beyond, he took advantage, went beyond that amount, bring it down to a reasonable amount, and that's mechila. Shema mina. We can conclude from this halacha that once you rectify entirely. Shema mina kalechet deboi ladure. We learn from here that if you have to return and undo something, we treat the entire extra amount like one entity. You have to undo the entire thing. Kula mahadar. Likewise, if you overloaded his grain with extra pebbles, you can't just bring it to below the level of tolerance to the reasonable amount. No, you can't do that. He has the right to clean out the entire thing. The customer does. You have to replace it with real wheat. Well, says the Gemara Chiyashta, you can't really compare the two scenarios. You know why? Hasam, in the case of the Aino'a, when he overcharged him, Me'ikara Shava B'Shava Amalei. Initially, when he approached the merchant, he asked him to sell him something at fair market value, right? The Meicher offered to sell it Shava B'Shava for a fair price. Okay, so the understanding between them was that it's going to be a fair deal. Mi'u, but there's a slight overcharge, you know, it just, he absorbs it. Pachais mishtus, if it's less than a sixth, lo yudia b'mana, it's not discernible in the item, in the, you know, in the price, it's just a small amount, and therefore, it is, to a certain extent, considered fair market value. U'machalinish, and typically a person just, you know, forgives that. But shtus, once you get to a point of shtus, which is a substantial overcharge, yidia, that's discernible, but lai machalinish, and a customer is not going to forego that. In which case, he's now entitled to the entire amount back. Because, you know, you were meant to sell it to me at fair market value. It's not fair market value. Give him back the extra, the entire extra. If it's beyond the sixth, then he's gone a bit too far. Mekach tosu, batel mekach. In this case, it's totally null and void. So these factors pertain to Aino. But when it comes to our story of the sack of wheat, which was discovered to have an excessive amount of fine material, it says Rashbam, it's a bit different here because it's urcha de milsa. It's perfectly acceptable. It's perfectly a natural phenomenon to have some foreign, you know, material in the sack. So the customer almost expects a certain amount, a certain percentage of dirt in there. And that much he's you know, he's going to absorb. He's meichel. So perhaps even if he found too much, in which case he has a right to object and complain, yeah, up at a certain point, he can bring it down, he can reduce it to a tolerable level. Who's to say that he has a right to clean it out completely? So we don't really have a raya from this halach. To our case. To Hashmai comes another attempt at a raya to our story. Hamakabal Sadam Achaver Elita. A fellow is a landscaper. He's a planter. Okay, he made a deal with the farmer. I'm going to, you know, plant up an orchard. So he plants up 100 trees. What is an acceptable rate of failure? Here is a Makabal Olav Eser Burius Lameya. So the owner, landowner, is willing to accept a 10% rate of failure. 10 inactive trees, 10 failed trees, 10 per 100, okay? Yoshim Mikan, but if it turns out to be more than 10, that's a bit too much. So, question. Let's say 11 trees did not really, you know, take root well. So these are 11 unsuccessful trees. Does he have to redo the entire 11? Or can the planter say, look, 10 would be an acceptable, you know, failure rate. Okay, it's 11. I'll fix up one tree and replace it and bring it down to 10. Megalgal and all of us akoy. No, you can't do that. We have to redo the entire thing. Nope. So what do we see? When something is overdone beyond the acceptable rate, you can't just bring it down below that. You have to redo the entire thing. Amar of Huna be the Rishon. No, you can't compare that story to the case of the pebbles and the wheat. You know why? Kol Yosser Mikan, when it's beyond 10 failed trees, that piece of property is a substantial, significant entity on its own. It's like a separate field, you know, 11, 12, 13 trees. It's already like an orchard on its own. Kibalita mitchila domi. It's as though he's replanting a brand new orchard for me. Meaning, a couple of trees off, okay, it's absorbed. Once you get to the point of 10, 11, 12, right? 11 or 12, 10 is absorbed, but 11, 12, 13... You've sort of left out an entire section, like an entire orchard. I commissioned you to plant my orchard, and you haven't. You know, you planted one part, but the other orchard, so to speak, has been left fallow. It's a davar chashuv. So you have to redo the entire thing. As opposed to the dirt and the wheat. It's not a piece of property. It's not something chashuv. It's just, you know. So there, we can perfectly understand that he's not so makpid. And as long as you bring it down to a level of tolerance, to an acceptable level, to below that 4% mark or whatever, you're okay. Maritav shel yain. Okay. Next case is a fellow who sold a wine cellar. Cellar full of wine. Bunch of barrels. Mishnah says there is an acceptable rate of failure as well. If it's been discovered that 10 of those 100 barrels are yain koises, inferior quality wine, koises, according to the Tosfos, means it's already smelling like vinegar. The fermentation process has already somewhat begun. I mean, it still tastes like wine. It's like, it's table wine. It's, inferior quality wine. That's perfectly acceptable, as long as it doesn't exceed 10%. So the rest has to be good. 10%, off. Now, the question is, hechidomi, how exactly did the seller describe his merchandise upon offering the deal? There are three options. Option A is, either amrli martiv shel yayin stam, he offered him a martiv means a wine cellar, of wine. Stam, without, detailing more than that. So here, there's no rate of failure allowed at all. A martiv shel yayin is just that. A storeroom full of good wine. Gosh, yes, we don't quite understand. How come he has that 10% leeway? Okay, perhaps the next option. Either Amrle Martav Ze Shol Yain. Level 2 is, he pointed to his storeroom. He says, this is my stock, I'm selling it to you. Whatever it is. Martav Ze Shol Yain. The question is, why only 10% failure? Kasha. The kasha is because, in this case, even if the entire storeroom is full of this bad wine, too bad. This is what I gave you. I gave you whatever I have. So why only 10%? Kasha. We don't understand that either. Okay, so perhaps the third level. Either Amrle Martav Ze, if he described it as this storeroom, without even saying the word yayin, kasha, and the question is, even if the entire storeroom is full of vinegar, it's a fair deal. I never said the word wine. So basically we have three levels. Martav Shel Yayin has to be 100% good. Martav Ze Shel Yayin, it could be 100% bad. Martev, without even saying wine, Martev Zeh, can be fully vinegar. So we don't quite understand the halacha of the Mishnah. That is required to give him full good wine, minus, a 10% fault rate. It has to be kulei yafe, kulei wine, and 10 barrels out of the 100 could be, inferior wine. It doesn't really correspond to any of these halachas. Because we have this, the Braisa tells us that in fact there are three levels, three ways to describe your goods, and each one has its own halacha. None of them parallel the halacha in the Mishnah. The Sanya, Martav Shel Yayin and Nimei Chalach. Okay, I'm giving you a Martav Shel Yayin. That's level one, top level. What does he have to provide? Noisin LeYayin Shekulei Yafe. The entire stock has to be high quality wine. Level two, Martav Ze Shel Yayin. This stock of wine. Okay, so it allows him a bit more leeway. In this case, even if the entire stock is wine which is sold at the corner shop, at the grocery table wine, which already smells a bit vinegary, that's okay. Third level is Martav Zeh, without even mentioning yain, ani meichaloch. Afilu kulu chayim tegiyo, even the entire thing is already vinegar. Too bad. So which case is the Mishnah reflecting? Says the Gemara, the Mishnah is speaking that in fact he described it as Martav Shel Yayin, the top level. So how do we allow him even a 10% default rate? V'tani Beresha the Braisa, we have to fix the Braisa. The Braisa as well on that first level allowed him a 10% failure rate. Makabel Olav Eser Kaisis Lameya. The customer is meant to absorb 10 barrels per 100. Really? Ubastami Makabal? Is that true that when he employed level 1, when he said Martav Shel Yayin, the customer has to absorb 10% failure? Vatanir Bchir told us, Hamaycher Chavez Yayin Lechaveir. Reuben sold Shimon a barrel of wine. One barrel. It's got to be perfect wine. Noisim Lo Yayin Shkuli Yafi. You can't give him, a barrel which is somewhat problematic. No, so what do we see? Level one demands perfection. Oh, says the big difference. It's one barrel. One single barrel doesn't allow for any deviation. It's the same barrel. You can't have part of it good, part of it bad. It's not going to work. Shani chavis, the kula chad chamru. One barrel is one entity. Of course, it has to be fully top quality wine. But when he sold them 100, we can fully understand that 10 of them can be faulty. Well, says the Gemara, have another kasha. But Rizvid presented a price, learned in the Beis Medrash of Rav Eshia, which doesn't really correspond to what we're saying. Because, once again, he goes through the levels. Level 1, Maratav Shal Yain, that's a top level. Maratav Shal Yain, Ani Mechalach, Nois Lo Yain, Shekula Yafa. Has to be perfectly perfect wine. No 10%, Maratav Zeh Shal Yain, level 2, Maratav Zeh Shal Yain, Ani Mechalach, Nois Lo Yain, Shekula Yafa. So firstly, the wine has to be high quality, but with a 10% leeway. Mekabel Olav, Eser Kaisis Lameyav. Right, he absorbs 10 poor quality barrels per 100. But the brisa continues. So before we continue, we already see a seeming contradiction between this brisa of Rav Zvid, which says that level 1 requires perfect wine all throughout, and level 2 says, okay, perfect, but with a 10% leeway, versus the previous brisa of Rav Chia, the previous brisa there, which said that by level 2, Maratav Zeh Shal Yayin, it can be totally inferior wine. Not just 10%. So we're going to deal with that in a minute. Okay, so that's the first problem. But the second thing is, the Braisa itself continues and says, Vizel, you should know this very last scenario, meaning level 2, is exactly the Oitzah, Vizehu Oitzah Sheshanu Chachamim B'Mishnah Seinu. That's the Oitzah, that's the storeroom, that's the stock that the Chachamim are describing in our Mishnah. Right, when the Mishnah says it has to be good wine minus 10%, we're speaking about level 2. So you can't suggest that the Mishnah is speaking about level 1, as we said before. Elo says the more you write. Our Mishnah is speaking about level 2. Elo masnisen nami da amar leizeh. Okay, he said, Maritav zeh shal yayin. Okay, so the Mishnah is good. So it has to be good wine minus 10%. But the question is, kashi zeh azeh. Now we have that contradiction that we mentioned a minute ago. Between Brisa 2, the most recent Brisa, which says that level 2, meaning Martiv Zeshel Yain, allows him to give him a 10% Kaisasais, has to be great wine minus 10%, and the previous Brisa, which says that when you say Martiv Zeshel Yain, which is level 2, look, take it as it is, try your luck, and even if it turns out to be bad wine, totally, from beginning to end, it's okay. How do we reconcile this apparent stira between the two brises? Like Kasher says, the Gemara, I'll give you a simple answer. The most recent brise, meaning Rav Zvid's brise, is speaking where, true, he said Maritav Zeh Shal Yain, which is level 2, but he also added something. Ha de Amrle Lamikpa. He told him it's meant for cooking, to be used in your recipes, for your gourmet concoctions, in which case it's understood, it's readily understood, that wine's got to last. It's got to be durable wine. It's got to be sustainable. It's got to stick around for a while. It can't be on its way out. That's Rav Zvid's case. And therefore, the wine has to be good quality wine, kula yofa, except for 10%, which, is a reasonable, a default rate. Oh, deloy amale lemikpa. As opposed to the brisa, which dictates that by level 2, Maratav Zeh Shal Yain can be kulo yain hanemke b'chanus, entire stock of inferior wine. It's because he didn't mention that he's using it for recipes. And the Gemara explains, the Rav Zvid, he speaks in a case to Amalei L'mikpa, and therefore he's entitled to higher quality wine. Brisa, however, is speaking to Amalei L'mikpa. He didn't say that. So now the Gemara will make a sort of a summary for us. So let's go back. We have three levels. Maritav Shal Yayin, Maritav Zeh Shal Yayin, and Maritav Zeh. Okay, so now, Hilkach, Maritav Shal Yayin, which is the top level, Ve'amli L'mikpa, so firstly, he used very, clear language. I want wine. Plus, he added another stipulation. I'm using it L'mikpa. So he's heightening his expectations. He's picking up the standards. So in this case, he's entitled to perfect quality wine. Noisen lo yayin shekula yafe. Okay, so that's the highest standards. Ma'at v'shal yayin, l'mikpa, there's no question in this case, it's got to be all perfect. And that's Rav Zvid's first halach. Right, that was on Tzadikei Amud Aleph, two lines from the bottom. Three lines from the bottom. Ma'at v'shal yayin, it's got to be fully yafe. Okay, it's a pretty clear-cut case. What about level two? Ma'at v'ze shal yayin? It depends. If he added l'mikpa, v'amli l'mikpa, so then overall it has to be good quality wine, suitable for cooking, but with a 10% leeway, as is naturally, you know, occurring by wine. Noisim l'yayin shekuli yafe, umekabelo, but he accepts upon himself 10%. Eser kaisis l'meya, 10 problematic barrels per 100. What about martiv? So basically, in this case, there's one up and one down. Meaning, martiv zeshal yain indicates inferiority, right? Right? Take it, this, whatever it is, as is, right? Adding lamikpa is one up, right? It's heightening the standards. So it's one up and one down. The result is, it has to be top quality, but you got that 10% allowance. What about Martav Zeh Shal Yain, but Loi Omele Lemikpa? Okay, what about level 2? Martav Zeh, but he omitted Lemikpa. So now he has sort of two factors against him, the buyer does, because he said Zeh, and he didn't mention Lemikpa. So in this case, he has the bad luck of having to take anything that he's offered. Noisim Lo Yain Im Kebchanos, the seller can offer him poor quality wine all throughout. Okay, so these halachas are pretty clear. Again, level 1, Martav Shal Yain, and he added the mikvah, there's no question. There are two factors in the positive. Martav Shal Yain is positive, and the mikvah is even more positive. He's got to be kula yafe. Level 2, Martav Zeh, which is a negative factor. Oh, this, take it as it is. And he didn't even say the mikvah. So two factors against him, he gets bad quality wine. But if he did say the mikvah, so it's one up and one down, one positive and one negative. In this case, it's kula yafe, except for 10%. One more question remaining. Iboilu, what about level 1? Martav shal yayin, but he omitted lemikpa. Martav shal yayin v'lo yomele lemikpa. So once again, you have a positive element and negative element. One up and one down. One high expectation and one low expectation, meaning the fact that he said martav shal yayin indicates higher standards. But his omission of lemikpa indicates otherwise. So again, you have one positive factor, one negative. Should we compare it to the other similar case, which had a similar equation we just mentioned, which was level 2, Martav Zeh Shal Yain, and he said Lemikpa. So Zeh is a negative, and Lemikpa is a positive, and the result is, it has to be Kula Yafe, except for 10%. Should we compare it to that? And here as well, you have one positive, one negative. Martav Shal Yain, which is a positive, and without saying Lemikpa, that's a negative. So ma'atav shal yain v'lo yomel l'mikpa, my, how do you deal with that? We have a machlekes. According to one opinion, yeah, we compare it to the other case. Just as over there it has to be top quality wine minus 10%, the same thing here. The other shita says no. That is true there when he said zeh. Take it as is. So there he has an allowance, a 10% allowance. But here he didn't say zeh. He said ma'atav shal yain. True, he omitted l'mikpa, true. But it's still not on the same level as that halacha. He's entitled to better, he gets kula yaf. That's the machlekes, in a nutshell. And then we'll go through all different, you know, calculations and the yukim and the lashonis, but in a nutshell, this is the essence of the machlekes, as the Rashbam explains. Okay, so let's see the words inside. Iboilu martav shal yain, v'leomu lel mikpa mai. Level 1, he said martav shal yain, but without mikpa. So you have one positive element, one negative element. Mai, what's the halacha pligibo? We have a machlekes between Rav Achon and Ravina, chad amar mekabel. In this case as well, the buyer accepts 10% faultiness. V'chadam or lemikabel, the other one says no. In this case, the seller is not entitled to give him 10% off wine. It's got to be fully off. Ma'adam or mekabel, the one who says that he absorbs 10%, you know why? Dayek mid Rav Zvid. He was medayek from Rav Zvid. Because Rav Zvid says, Diktani ma'adav shal yayin, ani ma'ichalach. Rav Zvid says that on the first level, ma'adav shal yayin, no yisn la yayin shekul yafem. It's got to be top quality wine completely. Well, Kimna, and we've already explained, Domli Lemikpa. The Rav Zvid's discussion pertains to a fellow who added the word Lemikpa, which indicates to us like this. Time of Domli Lemikpa. The only reason why he's entitled to 100% pure wine is because he said Lemikpa. He said, Ma'itav Shal Yain plus Lemikpa. So he has two advantages. Then he wins the case. Let's make a deal. Let's make an inference. But if you would omit the word Lemikpa, so he has sort of a conflicting equation. Ma'itav Shal Yain is level one, indicates purity. Okay, so that's a positive element. But omitting of Lemikpa is a negative element. So in this case, Mekabel. He has to absorb 10%. That's one opinion. But the other opinion, the other shita, which says, no, you don't absorb 10% in this case. Diakmi Bryce. He focuses on the Bryce. The Bryce says like this, Taktoni, Ma'atav Shal Yain, Ani Ma'ichaloch. So on level one, he said, Ma'atav Shal Yain, No Yain Shekuli Yafa. He owes him Yain Shekuli Yafa, without 10% default. Vokimna. And we have explained the Le'omri Lemikpa, the Bryce is speaking. He omitted Lemikpa, right? That was the case of the Bryce. So what do we see from here? That even when you omit Lemikpa, but if you said Ma'atav Shal Yain, you get Yain Shekuli Yafa. So that's the machlekes. Ask the Gemara. Uleman the daik mi Rav Zvid kashya Bryce. Now let's go back. The first opinion focused on Rav Zvid, and derived from there that he absorbs 10%. So how does he learn the Bryce, which indicates otherwise? Well, chasur mechz rachitani. The Bryce is meant to be learned as though it's missing some words, and you read it like this. When do we say that on level one, Ma'atav Shal Yain, he gets Yain Shekulu Yafa without 10% absorption? That's because he added another positive element. He said first, Ma'atav Shal Yain plus Lemikpa. Oh, he had two factors in his favor. He gets Kula Yafa. If he omitted Lemikpa, so now he has one factor in his favor and one factor against him. Mekabel has to absorb 10%. Umartav Zeshal Yain, the Brisa continues. What about level two? Martav Zeshal Yain. You omitted Lemikpa as well, so he has two factors against him. First of all, because it's Zeh, as is. And secondly, he didn't express his expectation. He didn't say Lemikpa. In this case, it can be totally faulty wine. He gets bad wine. Okay, now, according to the other opinion, that focused on the Brisa, and learn from there that in the case of Ma'atav Shal Yain, which is level one, even without mentioning Lemikpa, he's entitled to Yain Shekula Yafa, Kasha Derev Zvid. So it's a bit difficult because if you took a look at Rav Zvid, it seems to contradict this point. Why? Do Akimna Damli Lemikpa? Because Rav Zvid's halacha, we've already established that he was speaking where he added Lemikpa, right? As we learned before. And therefore, Rav Zvid says, okay, on level one, Ma'atav Shal Yain, plus Lemikpa, so he has two factors in his favor, he gets Yain Shekuli Yafa. But let's make a dig. If he would omit Lemikpa, Holo Yomali Lemikpa Mekabel, he has to absorb 10%. That's a kasha on you, who says that he's entitled to 100% good wine. Says the Gemara Huadin, no, the same exact halacha. Meaning, his entitlement to 100% pure wine, Huadin da afagav, the le'omali lemikpa lemikab, that would apply even if he didn't mention lemikpa. Because when he say ma'atav shal yain, that's the top level, you're entitled to kula yaf. V'hadu okimna, da'omali lemikpa, and the reason why we established that Rav Zvid was discussing a case where he said lemikpa, mishum dekashe zeazeh, that was applicable to the second case, the second level. Remember, we had that stira, we had that contradiction, because in the Braisa it says, Ma'atav Zeshal Yain, which is level two, you can sell him a whole storeroom full of bad wine. And Rav Zvid says, no, it's only 10%. So we have to explain that the Braisa is speaking where he did not say Lemikpa, Rav Zvid was Lemikpa, so he's entitled to better wine. But that only pertained to case number two, to level number two. But in terms of case number one, Ma'atav Shal Yain, where Rav Zvid says he's entitled to Kula Yafa, that can be even when he did not say Lemikpa, because Ma'atav Shal Yain is as is Ma'atav Shal Yain, Kula Yafa. without absorbing a 10% fault rate. Now, let's just summarize this. Okay, we have three levels. We have Martav Shel Yayin, top level. Martav Zeh Shel Yayin, take it as is. And then we have Martav Zeh. In both, in all cases, we have two scenarios. Lo Yomer Lo Mikbo, he failed to express his expectation in terms of using it for recipes, for cooking. Or we have Lo Mikbo, we did say that. So let's go one by one. Top level, Martav Shel Yayin. So let's just move on to Lo Mikbo first. He did say Lo Mikbo, so he has two factors in his favor. Firstly, Martav Shel Yayin doesn't allow for any leeway. Plus, Lo Mikbo, Kula Yafa, he's entitled to the best one. Level two, let's go down to the next level, Martav Zeh Shel Yayin. If he did not mention Lo Mikbo, so he has two factors in the negative, two factors against him, because it's Martav Zeh, take it as is, and he didn't express his intention to use it for mikbah. He gets a full storeroom of yayin hanimka b'chanus. What if he says l'mikbah? So there's one up and one down, because it's zeh, but it's l'mikbah. So then we sort of strike a compromise. It has to be kula yafa, but he's going to absorb 10% of kaisis, a problematic wine. So the question now is, what about martav shel yayin? Let's go back to the top level. Martav shel yayin without saying l'mikbah. So the machlekes essentially is, do we compare it to the case of Martav Zeh Shel Yayin with mikbah? So Martav Zeh is a negative factor, the mikbah is a positive factor, in which case we say it has to be Kula Yafa with a 10% discount. Here as well, if it's Martav Shel Yayin, which is a positive factor, but he did not say the mikbah, it's a negative factor, it's one up and one down. So he absorbs 10 kaisis, that's one opinion. The other one says no. Martav Shel Yayin without the word Zeh entitles him to Yayin Shekula Yafa. Well, let's drop down to the third level, Martav Zeh. He described the stock as Martav Zeh. So again, it depends. If he did not say L'mikpah, it could be Kulei Chaimetz, fully vinegar. I never said the word wine. If he did say L'mikpah, the Rashbam explains, L'mikpah typically requires wine, so it has to be wine. Kulei Yafa, best wine, but it also allows for Esekaisa size, a 10% inferiority, you know, a tolerance level. Okay, let's finish up the sugi. Omer Rav Yehuda. What about a bracha? Yayin hanimka b'chanus. This type of wine which is sold at the corner, you know, grocery. Bad wine. Wine which has already started, you know, fermenting. It's already smelling like vinegar. It tastes like wine, but smells like vinegar. So we know that typically you make hagafen on wine because of its prominence, its chashivus. Yayin hanimka b'chanus, here as well, it still has the status of wine. Mevarchan olav b'er pri hagafen. Rav Chisda amar, no. It's half sour wine. It lost its status. Gabi chamra the akra. Normally, why are we making a bracha of agafen on this sour wine? Meis v'hikam's akash. Ala pas she'ipsha. You have bread which started spoiling. Al yayin she'hikram. A wine which started spoiling. Al tavshel she'ibru tzirasai. Some sort of cooked food which started spoiling. Oymer, and all these items, you make a bracha. Shakol nevedvar. It's still edible, of course, but it loses its prominence. It goes down to shahaka. No, so what do we see? That this problematic wine loses its status in terms of bracha as well. Amar Rav Zvid, Moedir Rav Yehuda, even Rav Yehuda would agree. Beportzim with the Mizdabna Karnasa. He wasn't speaking about real bad wine. He was speaking about wine which, you know, starting to smell a bit off, close to its expiry date. But this Bryce is speaking Beportzim with the Mizdabna Karnasa, some sort of real cheap wine, even worse off than the previous wine. Erzatz wine, the Mizdab Makarnas, which is sold at the street corner for the, you know, the drunkard, that wine is what's being described in this brisa, which gets a shahakal. But if it's a bit better than that, it still retains its prominence to a certain extent, and it deserves a hakofen. Omuli Abayi L'Rav Yosef. So Abayi is Rav Yosef. Okay, we have two opposing opinions here. Har Rav Yehuda, who says you get a hakofen. Har Rav Chisda, who says you get a shahakal. Mar, you, Rav Yosef, come on, Sfir Lei. What's your opinion? What's your take on this halacha? Is it a gofen? Is it a chahakal? Amalei, he says, Masnisi Yadana. All I know is a brisa, which we're going to learn B'ezah Hashem tomorrow. All the best to you and Hatzlacha, Rabbi.